I'm honored to be here this morning to present on behalf of the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and the Department of Education in New York City about our H1N1 vaccination campaign that targeted school-age children. For my presentation this morning, I will give you an overview of New York City, background about our H1N1 outbreak in the spring, describe our activities, the results, our lessons learned, and our plans for this coming year. New York City has a population of 8.3 million. We have an annual birth cohort of approximately 127,000. We have 1.4 million school-age children, that's grades K through 12. 1.1 million of these children are in public school. More than 1,500 school buildings are in New York City, and I will say that there are often multiple schools within a given building. There are school nurses in nearly all of our elementary schools that have students more than 200 students. This was our H1N1, the weekly visit for influenza-like illness, and I will just say we've heard often this week about the identification of the pandemic H1N1 strain, and that really was the week of April 21st. And within days, it hit New York City, and we had our first outbreak, which was identified on April 25th, which was soon followed by the first wave of the pandemic. I will say in New York City that we were hit much harder in the spring with not as much activity in the fall. We had an estimated 12% or 1 million New Yorkers that were ill in the spring. Most did recover within 4 to 5 days. However, there was rapid spread and high rates of illness in children. And there approximately 22% of our children age 5 to 17 years did report influenza-like illness during June of 2009. And we had multiple school closures, over 50 schools closed because of high rates of ILI. So soon after wave one, as many of you in the audience, we turned our attention during the summer to planning for the fall. And along with the Department of Education, the decision was made that we would not close schools unless there was some significant difference in the severity of the pandemic, and that there would be an emphasis on preventive measures. The Department of Health was given responsibility for vaccine distribution, and in particular, it was the immunization program. Our vaccine allocation plan focused on doctor's offices, hospitals, community health centers, and our own Department of Health immunization clinics, and we also distributed vaccine to other venues such as pharmacies. But because of that high burden of illness that were in the school-aged children, a decision was made to undertake a special initiative to offer H1N1 vaccinations in schools to target these children. Our strategy was to offer vaccine at all elementary schools, and this was public and non-public. We would provide vaccine for middle and high school students at weekend clinics, our point of dispensing sites or pods, and that we would run these pods for 5 weekends in all of our boroughs. We have 5 boroughs throughout the city. And these activities would supplement what vaccine would be available at the doctor's offices in the child's medical home. For small elementary schools, and we define that as under 400 students, we were going to use the regular school nurse that was on site to provide the vaccine. For a mid-sized school, between 400 and 600 students, we were going to supplement that nurse with a contract nurse to provide vaccine, and at our large schools, more than 600 students, we were going to deploy a 9-person vaccination team, which would be made up of 1 team leader, 4 nurses, and 4 support staff. We had 19 private schools that asked for vaccine only and then made their own arrangements for vaccine administration. We first established a planning committee, and we focused on the logistics, staffing, scheduling, development of our forms, testing them, translation, all of the training needs, data management, and also having people who were our school liaisons to work with the public schools, our private schools, and charter schools. And we also had a team during the planning for our weekend clinics. Of course, this couldn't have been done without the partnership of the Department of Education and also our Office of Emergency Management, which assisted with logistics. For planning assumptions, we were going to provide vaccine only to students 4 years of age and older. We were going to take do two rounds, so come back and offer that second vaccine for children under 10. We were only going to provide H1N1 vaccine, but we would provide both inactivated and live attenuated vaccine, and that we anticipated staff would be deployed for about an 8 to 10 week period. We did do a pilot program with seasonal flu vaccine in September, and that was just to test our assumptions. How many vaccines could a school nurse do in one day? How many vaccines could a team do? And then on October 28th, we launched with phase one, which was our small elementary schools, followed the next week with the initial deployment of teams. We did only 15 teams initially, again, wanting to make sure that we had all of our operational pieces in place. And then the following week, we expanded to deploying 52 teams a day to go out to our schools. And we also began the work at our mid-sized schools. The staffing for this activity came from several sources. For our school-located vaccination, we used our Department of Health staff, and they staffed our command and control. I will say that we did run this like an emergency operation, and we were in our emergency operation command center. Within that command and control, we had people who were supervisors for each of our boroughs or county to oversee those operational activities. We had our team leaders, the team members, and also field supervisors who reported to those borough supervisors, but they looked after and monitored activities in approximately 4 different teams per field supervisor. For our pods, we had our Department of Health staff, we used our Medical Reserve Corps volunteers, and we mobilized staff from 19 other city agencies. This is our command and control structure, and we did have an operational school lead. These were the main key activities I mentioned in terms of our liaisons with Department of Education, non-public schools, data management, and so forth. Here were our borough people who supervised the different field supervisors. For promotion, we sent materials home with all the students. We actually had a printed booklet that had a cover letter. There was a volunteer recruitment form. We were asking for parents to help with the promotion activities or for the day of vaccination. There was a consent form, which was a scannable form, a screening form, the vaccine information statement, of course, and all of the privacy documents. All of our school materials were required to be translated into 9 different languages, and those were available for the students as well. We held multiple press conferences. Our mayor was involved, as was our commissioner and the chancellor for the Department of Education. Numerous press releases. We had paid and unpaid media. Of course, there was tremendous interest in the activity, so there were lots of stories that were running. And this was in the TV, radio, and print media. We have a New York City hotline, 311. You can call 24 hours, 7 days a week, and get answers in 140 languages. And information about all of these clinics were on that site, as well as on our website. And we had an online flu locator where you can put in your zip code and find out where these clinics were running. For the results, there were over 570,000 eligible elementary school students, and these were all elementary school students in New York City. The consent rate was 26%. We gave a total of 208,000 doses, and 128,000 of those were first doses, so approximately 22% of the students were vaccinated in school. We provided vaccine at over 1,200 schools, and this was almost 1,100 buildings, and you can see the number of schools that we served below. For the pods, we held 58 pods over the 5 different weekends and vaccinated nearly 50,000 people, and 39% of those were of school age. And we were probably one of the few places that had underutilized pods. Only one of those 58 actually had a line at any given time. So each successive weekend, we ended up opening it up to more and more people, really hoping to reach our capacity in the pod. So we started with a focus on the middle and high school students, and then expanded to pregnant women, caregivers of children under 6 months, and so forth. And by the last pod weekend, we did open it up to every New Yorker to come to the clinic and still had no line. This shows you where our H1N1 doses were given. You can see here, this is 6 months to the three-year-olds in the magenta color. And as per our plan, most of these children did receive their vaccine at their provider offices. For this 4 to 10-year-old group, again, which is that elementary school group, over half of the vaccines were given in the school setting. And then for the 11 to 18-year-olds, most of those vaccinated also received vaccine in their provider offices. This table gives you our estimated coverage for H1N1 vaccine, and this is based on our registry data. So about a third, 30% of the children 6 months to 3 years of age received at least one dose of H1N1 vaccine. 34% of children 4 to 10 years of old received vaccine, 14% of the 11 to 18-year-olds, and overall for this age group, a quarter, 25% of the children did receive at least one dose of vaccine. This table shows you, we specifically wanted to know how many children we reached through the school program that otherwise had not received flu vaccine before. So to focus on this row for the 4 to 10-year-olds, these are just children who received H1N1 vaccine in school or pods. So that was nearly 117,000 children. And for the 2009 year and 2008 year, only a quarter of those children had received flu vaccine. And if we looked at whether they ever had gotten a flu vaccine, only half of them had. So fully half of these children, this was their first flu vaccination. These are our staffing numbers. For the school program, we used nearly 750 people, 300 Department of Health staff, 150 that were redeployed from the other agencies, hired about 300 contract nurses for the 750. For our pods, over 1,000 department staff, almost 2,000 staff from the other city agencies, 187 MRC volunteers for over 3,000 people. So nearly 4,000 people were involved in these activities. And some of these people may have both worked school program and pod, so these are really individuals and not days worked. This was our timeline. The decision to start this school program was not made until September 1st. And then, of course, rapid scrambling, long hours to get our planning committee together, forms developed, translated, distributed. And within 6 weeks, on October 12th, we had our forms already in the school and started vaccination within 2 months of the decision on October 28th. Our first pod weekend was November 7th and 8th. Phase three started. Our round two started the end of November. Our last pod was December 12th and 13th, and finished round two on January 8th. We also did activities in the special education schools, and that was done in March. I will say we did have vaccine in all of our schools. We had all the ancillary supplies. March was spent picking up all of those supplies from all these schools. And even in April, we're still picking up all that red bag waste from the school sites. I think the big question is, what was the cost to do this program? And it's really critical to highlight the important infrastructure that we already had in place through the use of all of the public health emergency preparedness funds that we had. So all of the logistics to deploy the vaccine and supplies were in place because of our work with a vendor around the Strategic National Stockpile. We had pod plans, we had drilled it, we had worked with these other city agencies to get them involved with our pod planning, so we were able to move forward relatively simply. The scannable form we used, which was our consent form, we had developed that form and tested it as part of our anthrax plans, so we were able to change it to accommodate the H1N1 vaccination. And of course, like all of us, this school campaign was supported with FIR funds. It cost us about $4.6 million for the school located program and another $4.4 million for our pods. And of course, these estimates do not include the vaccine supplies, vaccine and the ancillary supplies, which were provided free, and does not include many of the in-kind resources such as personnel. Many lessons learned, and I'll highlight a few for you. We did see increased consent rates where the schools were more actively involved, and both by parent coordinators on site and the principals. Partnerships were key, certainly with the Department of Education. The private schools were a tremendous challenge for us. Some of them, like our Catholic schools, were well run and had the Archdiocese overseeing all of them, and so they could reach out easily to all of the Catholic schools. And I will say none of the other private schools, whether religious or non-religious, had a similar structure. So we actually had to reach out to each of them individually. And then we ran into some labor issues. People who were redeployed were doing it voluntarily. And a lot of that came out as we were getting close to actual implementation. And our lesson was we should have addressed that earlier in our planning process. For implementation, the command and control structure and our logistics infrastructure were really critical. One thing we did about 2 weeks into the program, we did obtain feedback from all of our field supervisors and team leaders, asking them what was working well, where the problems were. So we were able to make some changes midway through so that we can have a more effective program. I think to do this again, we certainly need an adequate timeline. What we had was really insufficient. It's amazing to even have pulled this off with only 2 months worth of planning. The management of the data was a struggle. We threw together the databases that we needed to run the program, but they were not ideal. And we needed, the struggle with just all the school scheduling, how many consents were there in each school, how many children were vaccinated. And then the payroll was probably the most difficult part because we had to tell all the other city agencies how many hours their staff worked, give that feedback. We had people who were on grants. We had to pay back the grant because they were not doing those activities. And we had to track all of those individual hours of all the people who worked on the program. We initially didn't provide a lot of guidance to the schools. I think we were learning the best practices as we went through the program. And our schools are very decentralized, and the principals are really, they're allowed to sort of do what they want as opposed to us saying, this is what you needed to do, sort of throughout the day. So they could have used more guidance, and I think our pilot program was very helpful. In conclusion, I think we've demonstrated that a citywide school-based vaccination program is feasible in a large urban area. We were effective in reaching children who had never received a flu vaccine before. To do a program like this, you really need adequate resources and planning time, and maintaining our preparedness infrastructure will be key if we need to do a future response. And given the cuts we're all facing in BT funding, I think this is critical. And to end, we're asking ourselves whether we need to do this again. How will we finance this program? And we're looking at the feasibility of billing. We do have evaluation activities underway. We're looking at a cost analysis and more detailed analysis about what worked and what didn't work. And we are looking at other approaches. So if we do this again, we would only do round one, and we would only focus on doing the team deployment approach. And we are looking at whether we can do this with a community vaccinator. Many, many, many people worked on this program to make it successful. These are just some of the names. I just want to acknowledge their contribution. Thank you very much.